Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, December 8th. I'm Ray Graff. Here it is, the holiday season. So much to do, so much to eat. And that's the tricky part. Back on the show today to help you head in the healthy direction is dietitian Nicole Rodriguez. If you have a question about that right thing to do at your holiday table, call us. 800-348-2551. And if you don't call us, we'll just shoot the breeze for an hour, and that's okay too. 800-348-2551 or email voxpop@wamc.org if you have a question for dietitian Nicole Rodriguez. 800-348-2551 or voxpop@wamc.org. Holiday food that's good for you. Allegedly, we'll be back. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's always a good day when Nicole Rodriguez is back on these airwaves. Nicole is an award-winning dietitian based in the New York metro area. In addition to serving a diverse clientele via her telehealth-based practice, she has a podcast. It is called The Food Bullying Podcast, right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, you got that right.
Did I get it right? Hey, you're an advocate, whatever that is. You're passionate about empowering individuals to feel good about the abundance of food choices at our fingertips. This is a great time to have Nicole back on this program because this is the time for unbridled gluttony in many households. And this is a way to perhaps counter that a little bit. The number to call is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. If you have a diet or nutrition question for Nicole Rodriguez, you do personal training too. How's the telehealth working out for you?
It's working out really well. I'm in network with some great insurance providers like NYSHIP, Aetna, Cigna.
Oh, you get the state
workers. Oh, yeah. Yeah, everybody.
Nice.
I'm an every person's dietitian. You know what I mean?
How do you keep up, though? I mean, that's it can be.
I love it.
Really?
Love to help people live their best lives. Yeah.
Now, what's been new with you? You've been anywhere, done anything?
Yeah. So a couple of days ago, I was at the Jacob Javits Center in Manhattan at the New York Produce Show, which is essentially all of the different produce vendors come to display their wares, as it were. It's not really a show put on for nutritional professionals. I just happened to be there to see a media event, but I saw all of these, you know, different products that are coming out.
Anything new?
And yes, very, very, very specifically, onions that don't make you cry. How?
Onions that don't make you cry.
And I was skeptical,
yeah.
And the lovely woman at the booth said, hold on, and she cut one. I put two halves up to my eyes, dry as anything.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, so what is not in there?
Yes. So I think it's that the compound that normally hits your eye and has that interaction, they're called smileys, I believe.
Smileys.
Yes. So
the onions or the compounds?
The onions, yeah.
Interesting.
And perfect, it's Hanukkah this week.
Oh, yeah.
And we know this is then the season for latkes. That's a lot of grating of potatoes, but then a lot of grating of onions. So imagine if that's part of your tradition right now, and normally you're like,
yeah.
Right? And now you could have these tearless onions. That's plant breeding, I think, is just so amazing.
Okay, this is just old school plant breeding to do this. This is
amazing.
That's
my understanding. Same, did you know there are now seedless lemons?
No. Well, by the way, let me give the number here. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551 if you have a diet or nutrition question for our friend Nicole Rodriguez. Seedless lemon. Really? Why?
Okay. So say you are making a cocktail, for example, and you just want that squeeze in there. Do you want to have to go through that process of your squeezing the lemon and then draining it through a mesh sieve to catch the, you know, to catch the seeds? You don't want to do all that. Or what if you just want a lemon wedge on a side of a drink? You don't have to worry about it. Same with a lot of recipes that might call for lemon juice, if it's a baked good or if it's a chicken dish. And citrus is such a great no calorie enhancer that we often forget about, right? We have the zest, we have the juice. So to make things like that easier, obviously, seems that the consumer wants that stuff.
I'm fascinated by the tearless onions. And where can you find them other than the Javits Center?
Yeah, so they are rolling their way out east, is my understanding. But some of them are grown in Salt Lake City, Utah, and some of them in Ohio.
Interesting.
And they're from a company that has onions available all year long, like 52 weeks. So
the New York Produce Show, how big is this? Javits Center's huge.
It's pretty big. I mean, it seemed like it was at least a football field worth of produce vendors.
But most of it's just the standard garden variety produce, yeah?
I want to say that produce has come such a long way. If you think 15 years ago when you went to purchase an apple, how many kinds of apples were there?
I don't know. A few.
Like four.
Yeah.
Five. Just there are at least, if you go between two different supermarkets, you're going to see 20 varieties of apples now. And again, there's breeding and all of these great things that go into your desire for what are you using the apple for, what texture do you want, what kind of taste do you prefer, how do you want it to look. It's all pretty amazing. And that's just one example. Another big trend we're seeing is vertically grown farming, right? So these hydroponic farms and vertically grown greens, that I saw quite a bit of. And some of it is right in New York proper or right across the bridge in New Jersey. And they're growing really delicious stuff.
When you were at this produce fest, do you get samples? Did you try stuff?
Yeah, you do. You do walk around and have some samples of things. I mean, I was offered the onion. I didn't want raw onion at 10:30 a.m. Just
bite.
As much as I love to do the research for my people. But there were really great tomatoes and these microgreens and all sorts of stuff. They're like, come have a bite.
You know, you mentioned Hanukkah and Christmas is coming and New Year's, and this is now the time where there's a lot of food. People will put platters out, even if you're just going to say hi to somebody. There's a lot of food, and there's a lot of temptation for people like me who always fight the battle of the bulge. Give me not necessarily a tactical strategy, but an overarching philosophy that people can take with them into the holiday eating fest.
Yes. So two rules of thumb, if I can mention two.
Okay.
One, if you're presented with a variety of options at a get-together or at Christmas, know what's a heck yes for you and what's a meh. Because if we look at the thing, say, for example, like, did you ever have a relative when you were growing up who made just like the most epic dessert or something like that for a specific holiday?
I'm sure I did.
Okay. So like, for example, I'm not going to skip out on my grandmother's struvoli. It's an Italian dessert it's like little fried balls of dough covered in honey and sprinkles. And it is absolutely delicious.
Did you bring any?
It's not made yet. It's not,
right,
not
fine.
Come on.
Okay.
I'm a little, come on. Right. If I had it, don't you think I'd show up?
Probably.
I'd roll up proper,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
So if you have that equivalent, what's your heck yes, I have to have that kind of spend your, I hate to use the word calories, but kind of like spend your calories there, eat it, enjoy it, and move on. But if there are things that you're just kind of meh about, skip them. We don't need to eat all of these things just because it's the holiday, just because it's Christmas, just because it's Hanukkah. If something's not even that appealing to you, try to skip it over and focus in on things that are really special specifically to the holiday or really special to you either in a family way or a cultural way, and enjoy them. Because you know what happens if you don't eat, say it's, you know, your Aunt May's delicious pecan pie.
She'll be irritated.
Not just that, but you will think about it, you will have regret, and also you will try to fill that void with other foods.
I'd like some of those dough things you were talking about with honey.
A delight.
To heck with Aunt May's pecan pie. Nicole Rodriguez is our guest today. Nicole is a dietitian, a nutritionist too, would you say? Or is that just redundant?
So we started adding nutritionist to registered dietitian to establish that yes, we too are nutritionists, but we all
were a step up.
Well, because we had to go through a significant amount of schooling and unpaid rotational practices and, things of that nature. Internship, yeah.
Well, you're doing all right now. Let's take a quick break here. 800-348-2551 is the number. Healthy eating at the holidays with our pal Nicole Rodriguez. 800-348-2551. You can email voxpop@wamc.org. We're just getting started. Tony Levin and Stickmen. Now, they will not be at the Linda in a week or two, I believe, but I believe the Levin Brothers Quartet will be at the Linda, I want to say the 16th. I'm not exactly sure, but is that correct? Okay. Mike, the engineer, says the Stickmen are also coming, but the Levin Brothers first at the Linda, and you can go to thelinda.org and find out about that one. 800-348-2551 is our number. Nicole Rodriguez is here just in time to keep me from gaining 72 pounds at the holiday season. Well, you know, we'll keep it to 40. Anyway, you were saying, and you had a part two.
I was going to say we'd cap it at 70, but okay, even better. Yes. Fantastic. So December tends to be a time when weekends are really full of social events, various things for a lot of people, holiday parties, office parties, yeah, etc. So if you can look at these festive weekends and say, one, when does the weekend actually start? Like, are we talking about the weekend is starting Thursday night and then we're just getting wild until Sunday night with, yes, food, drink, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So what I advise a lot of my patients is let's look at how we can bookend the weekend with something that makes you feel good so that when Monday comes around, you don't feel like you overdid it. You don't feel like you're quote unquote starting over. You don't feel bloated. You don't feel terrible about yourself. So if we look at Friday night and say, you know what, I'm going to commit to having a meal at home, or I'm going to commit to whatever takeout I'm ordering, I'm going to augment it with like a bagged salad or a frozen vegetable or whatever. Not letting Friday get out of control. So say you have to go out to something though on Friday, you'll be like, oh, Nicole, what do I do then? Before you go out, sort of do a little pregame with some vegetables. And I know it sounds so boring, but you would be surprised how much better and more control over your choices you're going to feel if you do even just that ahead of time.
You mean pregame consuming them?
Absolutely. Or, I mean, if you want to party with them, get wild, you know,
with
I don't know what, yeah, I don't know, right, what kind of vegetables you're meeting out there.
You know what? That's weird.
But yeah, doing a little bit of vegetable consumption paired with lean protein before you go out to some kind of event. Absolutely. I eat so many raw baby vegetables all the time, and over time, your body will crave them as well.
You know, I never thought of that, but it makes perfect sense. One of those adages that we have heard year in and year out, when you're shopping on a budget, always make sure you're not shopping on an empty stomach.
100%.
This is the same thing.
Same thing. It's like shopping on a caloric budget. So if we keep our Friday relatively controlled and then say, you know what, Saturday, I'm going out, I'm having the more indulgent meal, I'm having a couple of cocktails, cool. Wake up Sunday and have a plan for that day. That should be your day where you get movement in. That should be your day where you have a plan for what you're consuming in the evening, something a little bit more dialed in. Again, so that you still have your fun, right? Saturday's your kind of fun time, your really social time. If you want to have a couple of drinks, cool. And then by the time Monday rolls around, because you've been more responsible, so to speak, on Friday and Sunday, you're going to feel better going into the week and then probably do it all over again the next weekend this time of
year.
That's
the problem. There are so,
right,
many now big weekends,
yeah,
coming up.
Yeah.
Are you a calorie counter?
I am not personally a calorie counter at this point. I will also say I probably have an unfair advantage of heightened awareness of calories and a lot of different things just by the nature of my job.
Yeah.
I will say it's not for everybody. It's a very personal decision whether you choose to count calories or whether you choose to use the plate method or whether you just choose to focus on your intake of protein and produce and making sure you have those things and then augmenting them at each meal with the carbohydrates and, you know, fats of your choosing. There's a lot of different ways. If we're specifically talking about weight management, there are a lot of different ways to go about that.
Nicole Rodriguez is our guest. Nicole is an award-winning dietitian nutritionist based in the New York metro area and serving clients all over the place via telehealth. The number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Before we jump to the calls, if you had to count something, would you rather count carbs or would you rather count calories?
What a great question. I don't want to count either one of...
Darn it, I don't want to count.
I don't want to count either one of those things, but I will say if you're going to count one thing, keep track of the grams for weight maintenance and management and for muscle building, all of these things, keep track of how much protein you're consuming throughout the day.
Plenty of protein is what we're talking about here,
and
right?
In realistic portions and what we tend to do as Americans, we tend to have the least protein at breakfast, a little bit more at lunch, and then we have the most of our protein at dinner. And what some evidence suggests is that when we do that, we don't really get what we need throughout the day as far as recovery from those amounts. So we're better off having an even amount of protein spread across every meal. And a number that works for a lot of people, just kind of like a rough estimate that we talk about a lot, is 30 grams at every meal. So what does that look like?
Yeah,
it looks like maybe a piece of meat that's roughly the size of your palm, or we might say this, a piece of fish the size of a checkbook, something like that, right? So having that kind of rough estimate so that we know what we're getting because of the satiety and because of all the other benefits to regular protein consumption.
What does protein actually do?
It does a lot of different things, right?
Primarily, but when they say get your protein, why?
Yeah, so that we can maintain lean muscle mass. That's probably the biggest one. One of the other benefits is that protein has the highest thermic effect, meaning it's just what your body is going to burn through really readily, right? And to, you know, enhance your metabolism and all of those great things as well.
We're joined today by Nicole Rodriguez. Number is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Dovetailing off our conversation just now about carbs, this is from Patrick in North Adams. When looking at a nutrition label, you'll often see, for example, 30 grams carbs, which is then broken down to 5 grams sugar, 5 grams fiber. Where are the other 20 grams?
Right. So those would just simply be the other carbohydrates that are not sugar and not fiber. Those aren't like the only two. Those aren't the only two carbohydrates.
But the sugars are specifically the ones you should be worried about?
Yeah. So I never want to say worry. And I think having a more additive approach can be helpful. So I'm glad you brought up fiber on that label.
Yeah.
So if we're looking at a nutrition facts panel and we see that something that has 5 grams of fiber in one serving, and granted it's, you know, naturally occurring fibers is what's best for our bodies in most cases, then I know that's probably a food that I want to incorporate, because throughout the day as well, we do need to be getting fiber. It's something that a lot of us in this country tend to be deficient in. As far as, you know, what are we quote unquote worried about with sugar? Do we want to keep an eye out for added sugars? Absolutely. Do we want to be having something with, you know, added sugar all throughout the day? We don't. But that's why these labels have helped us create this kind of awareness.
And, you know, Patrick's letter or email, I should say, reminds me of something else. You know, we have a nation full of pre-diabetics and diabetics. And docs will tell the diabetics, hey, if you're going to have sugars, counteract it with fiber. Why is fiber a magic bullet if you're having sugars?
Yeah. So I don't want to say it's a magic bullet if we're having sugars, but it is a magic bullet for a lot of things, right? So what does fiber do? Fiber increases your satiety and it works to regulate your blood sugars as well, right? So moreover, part of a diet, if you're looking to improve, say, your lipid panel, that's another reason you might want to increase your fiber. I'm sure you've seen oatmeal being touted as great for your cholesterol. What's in there? It's the fiber in the oats. That's really the magic bullet in that situation. And again, a lot of us are just not getting enough fiber. So if you don't mind, real quick, where does fiber come from?
Where does fiber come from?
It comes from things that come out of the ground, right?
Right.
So our fruits, our vegetables, our nuts, our seeds, all of the grains, of course, beans, legumes, lentils, all of those things can be great sources of fiber. So if you're not already consuming things that are so easy as opening like a can of beans, get on it, because it's one of the easiest and most cost-effective things you could be doing to improve your health.
Nicole Rodriguez is our guest. Interesting fun fact before we hit the phones. My lipid panel is so big, it requires two panels. Did you know that? It's twice the size.
It's a monster.
Let's go to Nancy in Stormville. Nancy, you're on with Nicole Rodriguez.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. It's not a holiday question.
That's fine.
I was recently diagnosed with pancreatic insufficiency. In fact, my pancreas produces no enzymes. They just put me on Creon, if you're familiar with that. I have to take four per meal. I take it when I eat. And I can now eat. She said I can go ahead and eat anything that I want as long as I'm taking the Creon. My weight is low. I'm down to 97 pounds, so they're wanting me to gain some weight back. Do you have any words of wisdom how to, I would like to get off this very expensive drug?
Yeah, so my one question is, how do you feel you're doing with the weight gain?
With the weight gain.
Yeah, because they've advised you to gain a bit of weight back. Is that right?
Yeah, this is like the first day that I would just talk to the doctor yesterday. So, I don't want to be that low.
Yeah. So one, I would be paying attention to my hunger cues, and you might benefit from having smaller meals throughout the day, and those, you know, meals or snacks being as balanced as possible. As far as actually tapering off that medication, you should check eatright.org and find a professional in that specific, someone who works with that specific diagnoses, and work on a weekly basis with someone to taper off of that medication. You can find a registered dietitian at eatright.org.
Eatright.org. Nancy, thanks a lot. Really, good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck with this. 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551. Nicole Rodriguez is our guest today. Nicole is a dietitian, nutritionist, based in the New York metro area, who inexplicably comes up here a few times a year to talk to me and to talk to you. What's going to be on your holiday table this year?
Oh, gosh. I don't really cook anything myself.
You don't cook anything yourself?
I go to other people's houses for the holidays.
And tell them what to do.
I'm smart. Actually, I'm tasked with a dessert for Christmas Eve, and then my mother comes over Christmas morning, and
she's a good cook.
No, I get us bagels and we just hang out.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
So the nutritionist, the dietitian, she'll have a bagel once in a while.
Absolutely.
A guilty pleasure for you?
Listen, I was born and raised on Long Island and have lived in and around New York City my whole life. So a bagel is not something I feel guilty about. It's just not something I eat very frequently, although I have so many bagels very close to where I live.
What about a knish?
I haven't had a knish in probably 20 years, but I enjoy one.
I mean, long ago when I would be down in the city, They had them on the street corners. You
They're
get the
delicious.
Commission. Oh, so good. Let's go to Joan in Schenectady. Joan, you're on. Hello.
Hello, hello. That wasn't quite fair. I was just actually salivating over the taste of a Knish in my memory. Okay, I'm back. Hi.
Hi.
I want to ask Valerie how to miniaturize popular dessert treats, basically, because in my family, we don't get together for the big suppers anymore at Christmas time. But I've noticed that, you know, the cookies disappear, anything that's sweet and can fit in your hand is going to disappear. So I was thinking like something like baked apples, you know, stuffed baked apples. What's the smallest, best baking apple to make mini stuffed apple treats?
Crab apple.
Okay, so I'm so glad I'm so glad you asked this question. There's an apple called the Rocket Apple, R-O-C-K-I-T, I do believe. And they were actually made to be lunchbox sized. I believe that was the motivation behind them being bred to be just this perfect little size. And I think that would be the absolute cutest baked apple for the holidays. I would also encourage you, if you're looking for some other fruit-based desserts and things of that nature, there's a great website called Have a Plant, or you can check them out on social media on Facebook. And they have tons of different produce-based recipes specifically geared towards the holidays as well. And I think you'll find a lot of things that suit what you're looking for.
All right, Joan, thank you.
You are welcome, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Have a great weekend. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. If you want to talk to dietitian nutritionist Nicole Rodriguez, 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Bonnie's in New Paltz. Hello, Bonnie.
Yes, hello.
Hi, yeah, you're on.
Okay. My question is about the tearless onions. I can't believe it's the same onion with nutritional and helpful, not as helpful for your immune system without all those fumes. It has to detract something from the onion. And so the question is, do you know what?
Yeah, so to my understanding, these onions, you know, just like think about it, a lot of the produce that we buy now, they came about through different methods of plant breeding. And it used to, you know, could have taken hundreds of years. It could have taken decades. And actually, this onion, I have their page popped up right now. And these were bred for 3 decades to get the same sweetness, the same nutritional value, and everything else. But to breed these onions so that compound kind of dissipates more when you slice into it. So there's nothing missing from the onion. They've just been bred to be better to cook with.
All right, Bonnie.
I guess, yeah, it's just kind of hard to wrap my head around because the history of the onion, in olden days, they would cut an onion and put it in the bedside if someone had a cold or to get rid of viral infections.
Yeah.
And the fumes also, like, somehow did it.
Yeah, well.
So without the fumes, I don't really think it could be the same. Beneficial, the same onion.
Well, it's worth a little investigation.
I think so, too. And again, it's not that all of the properties of the onion are missing, just the property that would make you cry, which I think is pretty cool. I think plant breeding is amazing, personally.
It is. But, you know, I think it's important to have the onions make you cry because at the holiday time, you cut some onions, you put some Morrissey albums on, and you just cry.
Just let it all out. Everything that happened in 2023, just let it all out.
And those are his upbeat records, too.
Yes.
All right, let's take a break. You know, Jan Ackerman, he could play the guitar. Dutch player from the 70s. That's Focus, and I forget the name of that song, but great guitar player. You must know of Jan Ackerman, Nicole.
Oh, gosh, that's not my preferred genre. I do not know.
They have a new cheerless variety of Dutch prog rock.
Oh, well, then there we go. Then I can start listening.
The number to call here is 800-348-2551. If you have a question about diet and nutrition for Nicole Rodriguez, who joins us a few times a year, but definitely around the holidays, to keep me on the straight and narrow as we get through all the buffets and everything else, the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. This one is from Nehemiah. I've been advised to follow a low FODMAP diet. Not a lot of people here seem to know about it. Could you elaborate on this type of diet, please? And do you recommend any particular digestive enzymes to help me through the holidays?
Oh my God.
What's
so
a FODMAP?
Low FODMAP is an elimination diet, often prescribed when you get a diagnosis of something called SIBO. We're still not sure what really the ins and outs of that are. Sometimes someone might be prescribed low FODMAP to eliminate feelings of gas and other digestive issues. And it is what I want to say, because I do have patients who are going through it right now. It is highly, highly individualized. And as far as the enzymes are concerned, there are many different options, right? So it's not something I would be comfortable saying, like, oh, get this one over that one,
right,
without knowing someone's like specific diet history. I will say you should be, I hope she's working with a dietitian, and if you're not, seek one out, because it's a lot of different steps. It's a lot of meal planning. It could be a lot of back and forth, introductions, reintroductions, etc. The F and the O, fructooligosaccharides.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes. So someone on low FODMAP actually might be eliminating different fruits and vegetables, avoiding some, including others, reintroducing some, taking them back away. So it's a bit of a journey, but it can be very successful for a lot of different digestive issues.
What role do enzymes play in the whole digestive process?
Yeah, so enzymes act like, I think what the best way to describe this is, enzymes are like the missing key that can turn on some different reactions in your body, like between proteins and things like that. So digestive enzymes, like, we already have them going, but some people might take extra to aid their digestion.
But not
everybody does or has
or
to.
Or needs to. But
yes.
Are enzymes present in all the foods we eat?
Not necessarily in all the foods that we eat, but they are present, yes.
We're joined today by Nicole Rodriguez, who is an award-winning dietitian nutritionist based in the New York metro area. The podcast is Food Bullying. How's that going?
It's going really great. We've had a lot of really fun guests this year, really touched on every segment of agriculture. It seemed like this year we've talked to people who produce meat, talking to people who produce different fruits and vegetables, everything from figs to apples, soy, people raising pigs. So it's really interesting to learn how different people care for their land, care for their animals, and all of those great things.
And you and I have talked about this before. You've been on many times before. The name Food Bullying, explain why that is what it is.
Yeah. So my co-host, Michelle Payne, she had started the podcast a couple of years ago with a different co-host, but she started the show named after her book, which is called Food Bullying. Mm. And she has a couple of different books, actually, and she's very well known, especially on the agriculture circuit, as it were. She's a very highly regarded public speaker, and she writes extensively about myths in agriculture. She dispels them, and her mission is really to help people understand what they're actually buying in the grocery store and like why you should not fear it, why you should be shopping based on your budget and your taste preference and not on all of these front of package labels and claims and marketing. And it's a really, really fabulous couple of books.
And this is sort of the philosophy you've espoused ever since you've been on this show.
Yeah, it always has been, because when you have a decent grip on the science behind these different foods and then have the privilege of meeting the people who raise and grow our foods, I go into the supermarket with every bit of confidence in what I'm buying, regardless of how expensive it was or wasn't. Is it grass fed? Is it pasture this? Is it free trade? Is it, you know, labeled non-GMO? I really don't look at those things, because I know our food is raised responsibly, and I know I trust the FDA, I trust the USDA, I trust all these different systems, so I shop pretty confidently and peacefully.
It's fairly refreshing to hear. There's a lot of white noise out there late at night on TV or on the radio.
All the time.
And so great to hear. Nicole Rodriguez is our guest. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org, and the phone number is 800-348-2551. Douglas is in Saratoga. Douglas, you're up.
Hey, Ray. Thanks, as usual, for the very, very good formats typical of the station here.
Thank you.
My question to your guest is, I've been going through this almost inordinate dry mouth, if you will, and dry lips. I mean, like, you know, I'm very healthy overall, but it's like I've been out in the Antarctic for 15 years or something like that. Cracked lips and stuff like that. My question to you, and see if you agree with this, I just happened to be in my local pharmacy yesterday, and I asked one of the pharmacists what she said, and she simply said to me, how much water intake do you have daily? And I said, very little.
Okay.
I hear it all over the place that I don't drink enough water.
Well, Douglas, that would be the best place to start before we go into potential dietary deficiencies that might cause those dry lips. And I'm wondering, and this is just a great topic this time of year, I'm wondering if you've noticed not being as thirsty with the change of season, or are you just less inclined to be drinking water? And I'd love to offer some strategies to help you increase your hydration.
Great question. No pattern changes at all.
Okay.
I've never been a water drinker, but I certainly can adjust my behavior to that. Oh, she also said caffeine, and I drink one cup of coffee a day.
Okay, so you're fine
and
there.
And I take several. Yeah, I take more multiple vitamins than you probably even want to know about, because I live alone. I don't cook a lot, but. This water theory, her comment hit me right between the eyes. I said, gee, I don't drink hardly any water. I drink a lot of diet soda, you know, low-fat milk, blah, 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 blah.
Okay. So what you're trying to do, it sounds like you're trying to establish a new habit. That new habit is drinking water. So what can be really helpful when we're trying to establish a new habit is to stack it onto another habit. So obviously, you know, we wake up in the morning, right? You know, you're going to wake up in the morning. How about if you challenge yourself before you drink anything else in the morning to have one glass of water, right? So then that would be another 12 to 16 ounces to your day right there. Just as simple, if you could do that for a week, there we have a start. And then you say, you know what? That really worked out. Where else can I stack this habit? What if you make a rule? Before I sit down to eat my lunch, I'm going to have a glass of water. Or if you're in your car, whatever the case may be, right? Like, oh, I'm going to have a disposable bottle of water, because your hydration is important right now. I'm not going to worry about the plastic. I want to keep you hydrated, right? So over time, if you can look through your day and say, where can I insert a glass or a bottle of water? Over time, you might be tripling your intake, quadrupling your intake, and then hopefully getting to where you want to be.
Hey, Douglas, let me jump in here for just a moment, Douglas. All right, Douglas said, you know, he drinks low-fat milk, too. That's 90% water. I mean, doesn't that count?
I want to get to that, yes.
Okay.
So I also want to touch on milk. Is not that we want to just drink milk all day long,
yeah.
But one, that milk definitely counts. Your diet soda even counts. We just don't want to be dependent on diet soda for our hydration. So, and actually, did I mention this? Milk more hydrating than water. Actually.
Didn't know that.
Yes, fun fact.
Wow.
However, we do want to get your water in through the day, because switching to more water throughout the day, not that we're taking away your milk or your Diet Coke, but having more water throughout the day is just a great habit for a lot of different reasons. And hopefully remedying this issue with your lips will be one thing that gets better, right?
Go ahead, Douglas.
Yeah, and I do put a lot of little lip ointments on. Anyway, Ray, thanks a million for your usual show and your great guests. I appreciate it.
Hey, man, thanks a lot for the call. Have a good weekend. Drink a glass of water, for Pete's sake. How much water do you drink a day, Nicole?
So my general rule now is that I will drink a liter and a half between the time I wake up and the time I leave the house, which is like maybe 3 hours.
All right, liter and a half equals how many ounces?
That is 33, around 50 ounces.
That's a lot of ounces. And then that's it for the day?
No. And then I probably have another couple. I probably have another couple of liters throughout the day.
I think the old days they said drink eight-ounce glasses of water a day. Is that enough?
So we should really be paying attention to the color of our urine. We want to have that pale lemonade kind of color. That's
yeah.
a good indication of ample hydration. Another rule of thumb is to take your body weight, divide it by two, and get that many ounces of water. You can, most people can follow that old rule of 8 times 8, right? Something like 64
yeah.
ounces. But hey, if you're thirsty and you need more, or if you're more active and you need more, have the water.
Yeah, okay. This email from MJ. What suggestions does Nicole have for getting in touch again with hunger cues?
Wow, that's a great question. So let's first look at mealtime, right? So there's a lot that can interfere with our hunger cues. And if we can have meals that are largely undistracted. So when we're really sitting down to our meals, we're focusing on the meal. We don't have a device. We don't have a television on. We don't have anything else kind of distracting us. If we could actually sit down and take stock of the meal we're going to eat, if we can pause between bites, if we can get back in touch with some of the actual process of eating, that can be one tool to help you get back in touch with, am I still hungry? Am I full? I would also recommend taking a look at the hunger and fullness scale, and you can find many of them online. A lot of different dietitians have their own.
That's a subjective thing, though, right?
Well, yes, it can be, but there are many great guides that you can look at and say, okay, well, if number 10 is uncomfortably full and maybe wanting to vomit and unbutton my pants, and number 1 is I'm so hungry, I feel like I'm going to murder someone, you can kind of, you know, you could kind of figure out what that middle ground might be and where you want to arrive at meals and where you want to leave meals, right? So we want to come to our meals feeling like, okay, I feel like I could eat, I'm pretty hungry, and we want to leave those meals where we feel like I'm satisfied, but I'm not overly full.
Yeah, okay.
But I would definitely encourage this listener to take a look at some of those also. And again, non-distracted meals is a nice starting point.
But as a dietitian, you would definitely not recommend someone get hungry enough to murder someone, right?
That's just a general life recommendation.
Okay, that's really,
let's avoid that. That's why you should have a snack on you
that's
sometimes,
That's why I keep
too.
Inviting you back.
Yes.
This is from Karen. Could you please discuss the benefits of beans and legumes when looking for protein choices for vegetarians and vegans, rather than meats and fish?
Yeah. So let's talk about what are we getting when we're eating something like beans, and what are we not getting? So something like beans, if you are vegetarian, it's a great protein source because you're also getting fiber in the mix. And it's that 1-2 punch of fiber and protein. So we know that protein is satisfying. We know that fiber can also help keep you full. We know that those things together are really going to help regulate blood sugar. And again, probably keep you satisfied until your next meal occasion. what are you not getting? So you might have heard that plant-based sources of proteins are not a complete protein. So they're not offering all of the different amino acids, which are the building blocks of protein, as an animal-sourced protein would, right? So we need to maybe look at augmenting something like those beans with a rice, right? That's something that, you know, goes together. We're starting to, you know, complement our sources and getting that more complete profile. The outlier there is soy, which is a complete protein, and that's another. So that's why we see soy being used a lot in a vegetarian meal pattern. And I would say go on and get canned beans and rinse them to remove most of the sodium. Look for a no salt or a low sodium option and still rinse them and enjoy them. I would visit cannedbeans.org for more on that.
There is a cannedbeans.org.
There absolutely is.
Good
heavens. It's a plethora
heavens.
Of good bean information.
Of course there's a website like that. I never knew. Mike in Cambridge writes, and we only have a minute here. I'm in my 60s. I walk 3 miles a day. In the summer, I bike 10 miles. I swim a half mile a few times a week. I read that older men need more protein, about 20% more per day. I increased beef. I upped my B-complex and also have had great energy results with an occasional iodine supplement. Any suggestions or comments on this regimen?
God, keep doing what you're doing.
Really?
Sounds fantastic. You choose those lean beefs and know that a lot of those cuts, I believe there are 9 of them, are actually approved by the American Heart Association as well.
Well, you know what, Mike, if you're still listening to this, when I read the email, Nicole put her hands up in the air in triumph. So I think you're doing some good stuff there. Well done.
He's walking and eating beef and living his best life. I love to hear it.
That is exciting. And then Cheryl writes, I too have to make sure I drink enough water throughout the day. My mother always said, pass the sink. Take a drink.
Oh, I love that.
After many decades, I am taking her seriously, but with a chuckle.
I'm stealing that. Your mom's a genius.
Pass the sink, take a drink. And okay, so we're just about done. Listen, it's always great to have you here.
It's always great to be here.
You make me think I'll get through the holiday season, even though I know. What are the name of those Italian things again?
Struvoli.
Okay. Oh. I need that recipe. So maybe your mom.
You know, there's no recipe from an old Italian woman. You just got to come try them.
I need that recipe. Hey, great having you here. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
You as well. Thank you so much.
Support comes from Farms to Tables, presenting the Epicurean in Rhinecliff, a neighborhood grocery market featuring local products and coffee. Eighth Step at Proctor's, presenting Kim at Reggie Harris at Magpie. Sing Solstice, Saturday, December 9th, 7:30 p.m. in the GE Theater. 8thstep.org for details. And Honest Weight Food Co-op, Albany, local and sustainable groceries for all, featuring seasonal, specialty foods, holiday catering, and zero-waste alternatives online at honestweight.coop. Once again, thanks to Nicole Rodriguez for being with us. By the way, if you're still on mic, I just hit that button right there. What's your website? I forgot. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Enjoyfoodenjoylife.com.
Oh, can you potter up just for a sec, Mike? Go ahead.
Enjoyfoodenjoylife.com. You could find me on Instagram, notoriously.nicole.rd.
You know, I'm kind of a semi-professional host. I should have asked that before we turned your mic off, but thank you anyway. Thanks to Mike Bowen, who stepped in here. Well done, sir, at the engineer's desk. Thanks to, oh my gosh, Dr. Norman Konarkiewicz screened the calls today. Thank you, Norman. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely weekend. We'll see you Monday at 2 for a Medical Monday.